So our portion this morning deals with the deaths of Aaron's sons. This last Monday night at 7:07, Neil Lash went to be with the Lord. Some of you don't know it. I know I'm announcing it for the first time for you. It's been on social media. But Neil went to be with the Lord. He had been being treated for a cancer, and I believe he was right at the end of his chemo sessions. And they didn't know he had a tumor in his brain, and he had a blood vessel opened up. He had a stroke. And but I want to just say one thing as we open this morning. It was probably one of Neil's great days that he had before he went with the Lord. He played golf that morning. It was the best score he ever had in his life. It was. So glory to God. I'll tell you, it was his greatest game that he ever had. He went to dinner with Jamie that night. They had a great meal, and then they went to a hockey game. And he was excited at the game and everything, and it was at the game that he had the stroke. So, you know, we mourn Neil, but God really gave him a great day before he took him away. So I want to talk, as I get into my message this morning, I want to talk about Neil and his life just for a few minutes. Many of you know him from their TV show. But Rabbi Neil and his wife Jamie were married for 48 years. They both accepted Yeshua as their Messiah in 1973. And a few years later, at a prayer meeting, a Monday morning prayer meeting, Neil had this vision of a messianic synagogue in Fort Lauderdale. Now, the interesting thing is both he and Jamie had never heard of Messianic Judaism. They didn't know it existed. You know, Messianic Judaism really started in our country as the more modern movement. It started in the north, in Cincinnati, over to Philadelphia. Nothing was really happening in the Florida area. And they knew nothing about it, but Neil knew that he had a vision, and God told him to open a synagogue, a messianic synagogue, where Jewish people could come and find out about their Messiah. And so this started them on their trek. Neil and Jamie helped to start Aron HaKodesh. It was back then Aron Kodesh. They changed it later years to Aron HaKodesh. But Aron Kodesh, they started the ministry. And they served at the temple. And they started it in 1976. And although they had started the ministry, they did not lead the ministry. A rabbi came in, someone came in and led, but they were at the congregation and they served at that congregation for many, many years. And when Temple Aron Kodesh's rabbi, at the time it was Yosef Kolner, he retired years later and he moved to Israel. And Neil took over the leadership as the rabbi of the congregation. And that was in 2008. And for a few years, he led the congregation as the rabbi. And then he retired as the rabbi. They had someone who was raised up in the congregation who had been in there for many, many years. It was Joe Vitkus and his wife, Eileen. And so they took over. Joe had served under Rabbi Neil for a few years. And now he became the rabbi there. And so as I said, most people know Neil and Jamie from their TV ministry, Jewish Jewels. They, from what I understood, and we just actually, we went to, they had a small funeral for the family and close friends, and we were really honored to be asked to go down. And so they talked about the ministry and Neil's life, and they did 150 episodes of Jewish Jewels over the years. And on a personal note, they started in 1980. But on a personal note, I have had, and Diana's had family that have watched Jewish Jewels. I have an aunt that I found out she loved to watch Jewish Jewels, and she loved to watch, and Rose Price, Tante Rose was on there, and he would do the recipes. And so my aunt Mindy would watch Jewish Jewels. And so Jewish people literally all over the world, because it went international, the TV show, and Jewish people that did not know Yeshua were watching the show. And so it was a great ministry for them for many, many years. Rabbi Neil and Jamie, they've spoken a number of times at Kol Mashiach over the years. The last they were here was in 2012. And I just want to, I've got a picture just to show everyone. This is actually the family. And so it's Jonathan and his wife, Nancy, and that's Jesse. Jesse got married a year and a half ago. His wife isn't in this picture. And that's, of course, Jamie and Neil. So they have this wonderful, beautiful picture of the family there. So my message this morning. There's a lot, a lot today written about living well and how to live well. And we see that there are magazine articles. We have Dr. Oz on TV, and everybody watches Dr. Oz because every week he tells people how to live well and what to do with nutrition and vitamins and all these things in our lives. And so there's all this stuff out there showing us and teaching us how to live well, dedicated to people living well. It's a big thing today. But this morning I want to talk about, and it's a subject that a lot of times we don't want to talk about, but that subject is dying well. How to die well. After all, we don't read articles in any magazines, the list of 10 ways to die well. You know, we always have the list of 10 ways how to live well, but we don't have that list in any magazines. Maybe it wouldn't go over real big. How to dial, 10 ways of how to die well. Well, I want to talk about that this morning. And it's convenient because we don't want to think about our death. We don't want to think about our dying. What's going to have, what's the process going to be with us as individuals? But Yeshua addressed this 2,000 years ago because he knew, he came to the root of the problem that we have. So let's go to Luke 17, it's verses 26 through 29. And as and Yeshua says when he speaks, and as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriages until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, Yeshua says, it is also in the days of Lot, where they ate and they drank and they bought and they sold and they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Thank you. So we see this. This is two separate generations, about 400 years apart, and they had the same things going on in their lives. And we have the same things going on in people's lives today. We do all these things, but they don't know what's going to be happening. They don't, a lot of people in the world today, they are not clued in, although many times we desperately try to tell them, they are not clued in on what's going to happen in the end times. And so we know, because Yeshua says, when he returns, we're not going to know it. We expect him to return. We hope that it's soon, but we don't know the hour or the day. And even Yeshua said, only the Father knows. So we eat, we drink, we get married, we play, we have great times, we do all these things, but we don't know the day that he will return. But as believers in Messiah, as readers of God's word, we know that it is inevitable, it is going to happen. And we see from the things going on in the world today, and the things going on especially in Israel today, we know that we are getting closer and closer to the return of Messiah. But this is what's going on in our generation today. The same thing that Yeshua spoke of in both Noah's generation and Lot's generation. So this morning, and I want to talk, and maybe people have heard about this before. I think I only talked about it maybe in one of the funeral services that I did over the years. But I want to read this morning. The phrase, live your dash, comes from one of the most popular poems in the world, The Dash, by Linda Ellis. It means to be mindful that we're only on this earth a little while. It means to spend each day with passion and purpose, and to inspire others by living a life of joy, compassion, and kindness. So it is the dash on the gravestone when we see the date that someone is born and the date that they pass on. There's a dash in between. Our concern should not really be when we were born and when we die, but what did we do in between? And that's the dash. So the dash. This is the poem. I read of a man who stood to speak at a funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on the tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that first came the date of birth and spoke of the following date with tears. But he said what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For that dash represents all the time they spent alive on earth. And now only those who love them know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. We think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that still can be rearranged. To be less quick to anger and show appreciation more and love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. If we treat each other with respect and more often wear a smile, remembering that this special dash might only last a while. So when your eulogy is being read with your life's actions in rehash, would you be proud of the things they say about how you lived your dash? So what have we done with our dash? What do we do in our lives? No matter how long or short our lives is, we have opportunities to make that dash very significant. And not significant for us, but to be significant for our family, for God, and for the kingdom of God. And Neil was definitely one of these people. His dash changed lives, thousands and thousands of lives. And he was serving the Lord. And it's interesting because, you know, as I've talked about Diane and I and what, you know, handing over the baton, what's interesting is he started the ministry, but he was willing to lay it down and put it in good hands for someone to lead it and remain a member. And then after he served for some years as the rabbi later on, and he realized, you know what? I've raised up good leadership. I'm handing over the baton to the Vitkuses. They still remain to this day as members of Aron Kodesh and serve the congregation. And Jamie is now still there. And she serves at the congregation. And this is her support group. You know, people ask me before, how's Jamie doing? Does she have good support? And Jamie has wonderful support there. Because this has been her congregation for years and years. Let me just mention for a second, it is the first time, you know, I never stepped into a church in my life. The only time I must say I went to a church was in my hometown, and they had a fundraiser dinner. And we went to the church because we bought tickets and they were raising money at the church, and we went, maybe a barbecue, whatever it was, when I was a teenager. It's the only time I ever stepped into a church. And so when Diane and I gave our lives to the Lord, Aron Kodesh was the first congregation that we were invited to. And we went down, 2.5 hour ride. We went down and we attend the service. We weren't believers at that time. It was later on that day. Later on that day, at the end of the service, we went back to our friend's apartment, and our friends asked that question, are you ready to accept Yeshua? And after what we experienced and heard at the Shabbat service, at the service that day, I was ready, and I know Diana was ready. So Aron Kodesh has a place in our heart. It was our first congregation. And all through the years, we've always kept, you know, in touch with them and connected with them. So the thing is, what are we doing about our dash? If you don't know where you're going when you die, dying is not a safe place for you to even think about. If you don't know where you're going, it's scary, and it's not a good place to be in your last deaths of dying if you don't know where you are going. And hopefully, those that read the word, read the words of the prophets, read the scriptures, know what God's word says about the Messiah, who he is, what he is, what he did, and what he will be, then no matter how much we hate that day, no matter how much we fear that day, no matter how much our family and friends will hate the day, we know that we know that we know that we will be with the Lord that day. And so now, what are we going to do before that day? What are we going to do with our dash? Neil did a great job. Jamie is doing a great job filling in her dash. We're living today. We're breathing today. Our hearts are still beating today. And so we're in that doing stage. We are still in that dash stage right now. And you know, it's interesting because when Diane and I were there and we heard Jonathan and Jesse talked about their dad, and we heard about, you know, some of the things we didn't even know about Neil. We didn't even know about them in the ministry. And then Jamie spoke. On the way home, both of us said, you know, we said to each other, we said, you know what, we realize this really got us motivated to really start doing more for the Lord. Just from hearing those words from the family. But we have this time now because our We're still living and breathing, and the hearts are still beating. Once they stop, that's it. You can't add to the dash. You can't extend the dash, and you can't make it a good dash at all. We can die well if we live right. And God gives us a big clue in his word how to live right. And there are many things we could talk about it for hours and hours, but this I found is a good way to really get motivated and start. This is Shaul, Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul's second letter to Timothy. So it's 2 Timothy and just this one verse, chapter 4, verse 7. And he writes to Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. This is a great way for us to start. This is the key. Keeping the faith. Is it a fight? It's a fight. And for some people, it's a real fight day by day. It is a struggle for a lot of people. I know that. It's more than just a fight. It is a day-to-day struggle for some people, for many people. But for all of us, it is certainly a race. And within that, we are fighting because of what's going on in the world around us today, more than ever before. But it is a race because there are obstacles and there are challenges in our lives each and every day. Just life. We have obstacles and challenges. So we are all running that race. And we are running it. And he said, there is a finish line, and we have to keep the faith to get to that finish line. What good is it if we live our lives trying to do the best we can, and at the very end, before our last breaths, we would denounce everything and say, we don't want to have anything to do with God. We don't want to have anything to do with the Messiah. We don't want it. You know what? You stop short, you're going to never cross that finish line. 1 Corinthians 9:26. He gives us the key, but he also gives us this pattern. Shaul gives us this pattern in 1 Corinthians. Therefore, I run like this, not with uncertainty. This is how I fight, not as one who beats the air. He does it. He knows what he's doing. It's not uncertainty. And then he says, it's not running around not knowing what to do and scattering this way and that way. And as he says it, beats the air. They probably still have them at the car dealerships. They had that floppy, the big blow up thing, and it has floppy eyes like this. It's like this, and you never know which way it's going to turn and everything. It's beating the air. It doesn't have any purpose. It's just flopping around. And so this is the pattern that Shaul gave to the Corinthians. It's running the good race. Stop beating the air. Stop aimlessly trying to please God your way. People decide, well, I'm going to do it my way. I'm not going to listen to anyone. I don't care what it says in the word. I'm not going to listen to the rabbi. I'm not going to listen to anything. I'm going to do it the way I think that I should do it. And people do it that way. And so what they're doing is they're beating the air, flailing around this way and that way. And they don't realize it. And they think they're doing some great things. And some of them even think they're doing great things for the Lord. They're doing great things for themselves and not for the Lord. So here's a hint that I have. And I've talked about this so many times. Here's a good way to start. Stop watching YouTubes. I love watching YouTube. There's a lot of good stuff on YouTube. But every Tom, Dick, and Harry are out there, and in the name of Messianic Judaism, they're all telling everybody what to do and how to do this and how to do that, and you're being every which way. It's aimlessly. You're beating the air. And you think, oh, because I'm spending all this. It's like you're putting in the time punch watching, you know, oh, I spend hours and hours watching the YouTube. But it's not a matter of how many hours you're punching the clock. What are you watching? What are you reading? What are you trying to do in your life? Are you aimlessly flopping around out there because this one is telling you to do that, and this one's telling you to do that, and that one's telling you to do this, and maybe I should do it that way? You're not getting closer to God. You're getting closer to yourself. Thank you for that pity applause there. Just think of all the time and the energy that we could save if we stopped watching all the wrong stuff. And if we say, well, we don't know what's right and what's wrong, then don't watch it. If you can't listen to your heart and to the Spirit of God that's living within you and telling you there's something wrong with this thing, then don't watch it at all. Just read the book. And follow the book. Forget about just reading it. Do it. Amen. All right. And I know what's out there. In the name of Messianic Judaism, we gotta let's use the right names and point with the right finger. And don't forget to rap. Don't forget your rap. Oh, don't use the index finger. Only use the pinky when you point. And don't forget to wrap your tallit in the pinky finger. Come on. We're affirming this is the Torah that God gave to Moses. That's what we're affirming. It's not about make sure you're using the right finger and wrap your tallit and kiss it 4 million times. And God forbid if you should drop your yarmulke, kiss it 20 times because it's a holy article. Come on, all. This is aimlessly spending energy on worrying about all this stuff that's going on. Let's spend time with knowing the Lord better. Knowing more about Yeshua and what he did and what he tells us to do. That's not running a good race. Trust me, it's not running a good race. Running a good race, there's going to be obstacles and everything, but boy, if you got all these things going on, all these other ways, you're never going to get to that line. And there, I see too many people, they never get to the line because they get so sidetracked and they get so, they get into, oh my God, ooh, I gotta start being this kind of person and that, and I'm not Jewish enough, and I want to be Jewish, or I'm Jewish, but I'm not Jewish enough. You know, come on, that's not what it's about. What it's about is, are your sins atoned for by the only way that Judaism had, and that was the blood atonement. And so if you're waiting for a new, as it said in the poem, a new car, a new house, maybe a new knee, a new hip. See, I have to relate to the older generation too. So, right, and the teens are already out there, so let's talk. So if you need all those things, or maybe people need a new husband or a new wife. Well, the good news is God's going to make everything new. So we don't have to worry about any of that stuff. Let's just get through it. Get through what's going on and the obstacles in our life. And it's going to be glorious. And God says he's going to make everything new. Death is either our greatest promotion or our greatest loss. It depends. where your heart is. The greatest promotion or the greatest loss. People say today, and I hear people, well, I just believe when you're dead, and that's the end of it. But they don't know. They don't realize it. It isn't the end. We are all going to live forever. All of us are going to, our souls are going to go on forever. So where you, if you're going to be with the Lord or without the Lord, that's the deciding factor. But it's not when you die, you die. Your physical body dies. When you die, you die. But you can't destroy a soul and a spirit. And it goes on forever. So either you're going to be with the Lord and be glorified and everything will be new, but I don't even want to think about what it's going to be without the Lord. I don't know. I don't even want to think about what those conditions are life are like. And so that's why I say it's either our greatest promotion or our greatest loss. And so many times people said, Neil has been promoted to that next step. On occasion, Rabbi Neil gave me good counsel over the years and good inspiration over the years, both to me and to Diana. We considered him to be one of our mentors, Neil and Jamie, and we knew that if we had something, an issue that we really needed some counsel, so many times I would give Neil a call. His death was shocking, although we knew that he was ill, but his dash was great. His dash was inspiring. It was powerful, and his dash is long-lasting. Oh, if we could only know that our dashes are going to be long-lasting for the good of our family, for the good of our friends, but for the good of God's kingdom. If the Lord tarries, like I said, we don't know when he's going to be returning. We hope it's going to be soon. But if it's going to be longer than soon, if he returns further down the timeline than we hope, I would hope that all of us would think we have some time to have a great dash in our lives. May all of our dashes be as close as they can be to Neil Abraham Lash's. He lived a great life. He's glorified now. Let's use this as inspiration for each and every one of us to really want to improve our lash, our dash for Lash. That was the Lash dash. Now you have your dashes. And so let's be inspired by the passing of our friend Neil Dash. Shabbat Shalom, everyone.